Scanning. Identity authorized. Welcome to the Secret Superhero Club Podcast Network.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning in. I'm Josh, and I'm the founder of the Animation Station Podcast. Last week, we participated in Podcast Blackout in support of Black Lives Matter. It was our first week without an episode since we started the podcast back in 2016. The episode you're about to listen to with our good friend Adam MacArthur was recorded on April 15th. That's the reason you're not going to hear anything about the ongoing fight for equality. We thank you all so much for your understanding. Please stay safe, wear your masks, and if you can, please consider donating to our fundraiser for the Trevor Project. It helps at-risk LGBTQ plus youths to find a safe place to talk where someone will listen. You can find the link in our show notes and on any of our social media pages. Thanks for listening and enjoy the episode. Welcome everybody to the Animation Station Podcast. My name is Josh and today we're going to have a nice fun little chat. We've got a very special guest, someone who's been on the show before, Mr. Adam MacArthur, and he is going to chat all kinds of fun stuff with us. So Adam, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing good. I'm living that quarantine life, as they say.
Right? Isn't it fun?
It's, you know what? I don't know what it is.
Yeah,
some days it's fun. Some days it is fun. Some days it's fun. Some days it's like, you know, maddening. Staring at the ceiling, wondering what the heck is going on. But, you know.
Yeah, I've been kind of busy. Like I put together a new recording booth because
awesome.
I was recording out of a closet. So I got tired of that. So I was able to put a new booth together.
Awesome.
So we're putting the finishing touches on it after this recording. So it should be good to go by this afternoon. And I'm very excited.
Nice. That's super exciting. Is it like a full-on like little whisper room kind of thing?
No, I wish. We're not staying in here that long. So I didn't want to, you know, build like an actual nice one. So it's just I went to a vocal booth to go and I got some noise-canceling blankets, made a PVC frame. Draped everything over it.
Nice.
We're going to be Velcroing everything today. That's the whisper room is definitely once we get into a house that we know that we're going to be in for a while,
right.
Then yes, whisper room will come in. But I didn't want to have to build one and then like in like 6 months take it down.
Right. Some of them apparently you can't even take apart. Like once they're together, they stay where they are, which I don't know, man. That's a big commitment.
Yeah, like that's why I wanted to build one, because like if I build one, then I can, you know, make sure that I put things in place to where I can take it apart.
Yeah.
Or since I've built it, I'll know how to take it apart. Plus, I can do it for like half the cost of like those really nice ones that are like $5,000,
right.
But they're fantastic and super cool. But it's like, oh, I could make one for way less than that.
Yeah. Well,
and have the same basic thing.
It's been interesting because, a lot of my friends and myself included, I already had sort of a home setup, but a lot of people were scrambling when all this started happening, mm-hmm. especially because the work has slowed down a little bit, but not a ton actually. And I've been auditioning a ton. I know a lot of my like other VO friends have been auditioning a ton too. So yeah, this like rush to get a good sounding home setup has been the thing that I think has occupied a lot of voice actors' mm-hmm. time, at least initially in quarantine. I use I have this thing called an Isovox. It looks
okay.
like it looks like a giant scuba suit head, like a helmet. But you get in it, it's probably like, I don't know, maybe like 4 feet long, 3.5 feet long, something like that, and you kind of stand, it just covers your head, doesn't rest on your shoulders, but it's like shoulder height,
mm-hmm.
And you get in it, but it's mounted in a closet that has carpeted floor and foam padded walls and stuff like that. And
so is the inside, is it does it have like foam or
yeah.
anything in there to okay
yeah the box itself, like the thing that makes up the Isovox, is made of like this really dense foam. It's awesome. It sounds great. And I've already been doing jobs that are like, you know, straight to broadcast, so it's getting the job done. But it's nice to have something at home.
That sounds awesome, dude. We'll swap picks. I'll send you a pic of this. I want to see that ISO box because that sounds fascinating.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'll send it to you.
Because I mean, I've been doing a lot of the audiobook stuff
Nice.
because that is one thing that happened. Like a lot of, bigger audiobook people, they would go into studios, so they
Yeah.
didn't have home setups. So now if there's a lot of people out there that like, I had a friend of mine who was contacted by Penguin Random House because they needed narrators.
Wow.
So they just contacted him directly because they had worked with him before,
Yeah.
but this one they were like, dude, we're like hurting right now because the audiobook is still like booming right now.
Yeah, I bet.
So it's one of those where it's like, oh, okay. So yeah, that's what I'm kind of going more into is the narration side.
Nice.
VO, like I like doing it, but narration is just one of those like it's a bit of an easier field to get into, at least starting wise. And I still get to, I still get to act, I still get to read, I still get to do my stuff.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds like a lot of fun. I have one of my good college buddies, does that full time. And I think he probably records, gosh, I don't even know. I think it's like, I forget how many titles he does a year, but it's like his schedule is crazy. He's never not recording a book, or at least one. Sometimes it's multiple at the same time. And he's insane with accents, and so he gets a lot of these books where it's like, multiple characters. It's, I don't know, that's talent. It's so hard.
The book reading, like I thought it was going to be easy because you just read a book. It was like, no, it's not.
Yeah,
And like the amount of research that they don't tell you that you need to do,
Right.
like this person is from Kent, and you're like, okay, what does a Kent accent sound
Yeah,
like?
totally.
Yeah,
Yeah,
it's
I've done a couple. I've done probably, gosh, I don't know, maybe 10 audiobooks, but most of the ones, I would say like 9 of those 10 have been multiple character books where I'm just playing one character. Like they bring in different actors for the different characters. And so, I'm not even reading the whole book, which is nice. But I always get pushed into that like young teen, like 13 to 16-year-old range,
Well, yeah, I mean,
age-wise,
like,
so.
we have voices for that. Like, I can't be like a big, gruff man. Like, that will never be my strong suit.
Right.
I'll
Yeah.
be like, late high schools, college kid. That's what I'm at.
Yeah, it's okay. I
And
like Fred Tatasciore. I don't want to take any of his
yeah.
jabs.
So it's a fun. I mean, it's, it pays bills. That's the main thing. It pays the
Nice.
bills. That's what we do. But yeah, so what all like have you been watching anything during the quarantine?
Gosh, I've been watching a lot of stuff because what the heck else am I gonna do?
Pretty much, yeah.
I've been watching Psycho Pass, which is an
Nice.
anime. You're familiar.
Yeah, we had Rob McCollum on.
Nice.
He was one of our first guests.
Nice. Yeah, that's
He's
awesome.
amazing. Yeah, that's God, it's such a good anime.
It's really cool. Yeah, actually, animes, I'm still like, I'm not 100% sold on all of them, and I know there's different like genres and all that stuff. But with Psycho Pass, when I turned it on, like literally the theme song started, and I was like, oh, okay, I'm in. Like it was just the right choice. The animation style was still, even though I think it came out in 2012,
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
it still felt like, I don't know, still felt current. Or
It
like, yeah,
was it's also really it's an easy one to kind of jump into because they don't like throw like a ton of exposition at you at the very beginning.
yeah.
They're just like, all right, here's the world, here's boom and boom, these guys are basically dogs. You can't use the gun on other people, like
Right,
someone who's
right.
not. It's very like it gives it to you real quick,
Yeah.
so you're in.
Yeah.
And I like that you're going with is it Akane? Is that her
Yeah.
name? Yeah, you're going with Akane like on her first mission. So you're learning with her and
Right.
not just it's not like something like we'll just say My Hero Academia where they're like, "All right, all these kids got superpowers and they know how to use their superpowers fantastically basically. Here you go.
Right.
Here's just their day-to-day lives."
Right.
So like, I like how like she learns and everything. I thought it was a great anime, you know, like from start to finish.
Yeah.
We even get that movie.
Yeah, so okay, I'm halfway through season one, so I'm just kind of like, you know, just getting into it. Like I just the theme song just changed, so you know I've just passed. Yeah. I've just passed that like
yeah,
first.
That's
arc.
When you know you have that midway point, like when when the song changes, and that's usually when the anime takes a different turn.
Exactly. So okay, so I just passed that point, and I know that is there three seasons? There's three seasons, right?
There's two seasons and the movie.
Two seasons and a movie. Okay.
Yeah.
From what I've gathered, just people like tweeting at me and stuff when I told, like when I said I was watching Psycho Pass, is a lot of people don't like the second season. Did you find that?
You'll see why.
Yeah.
There's stuff that happens in one that carries over into two.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also characters in two that kind of suck, and they're main characters.
Oh yeah, that stuff.
Yeah, that's they. Without spoiling season two or the end of season one, the stuff that happens in season one kind of carries over into season two.
Okay.
But the movie does help resolve a little bit of it.
Gotcha. Okay.
Like season does the movie feels
wise?
Like a.
Is the movie after season two
it's
timeline
after,
or
yeah.
is it okay
after? Just because like when you watch it, it's one of those you finish season two, and then the movie came out, and it felt like it was we know that we should have done some things different in season two, so here's this as an apology. That's kind of what the movie feels like.
That's awesome. Now and. From what I understand, too, this show was not based on an anime, right? It's just a show. I mean,
correct.
I'm not
yeah,
based on
yeah,
a manga.
It was not a manga. They did a manga later that okay. follows, oh my gosh, I forgot his name. Shinya, Kogami. Kogami
yeah.
and his old partner.
Okay.
So they've got one that follows that and like how his partner, you know, turned and everything like that and why. Kogami became a dog, basically.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, it's pretty
cool. I like how we say dog, and people that haven't watched this are like, so does he like actually turn into a puppy dog?
Yeah.
Maybe like you'll have to watch to find
out. I don't know. Anytime someone talks about dogs in anime, I just go right back to Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood.
Full Metal?
And I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, man, R.I.P.
Poor Nina. Oh, man. Man, Full Metal have just so many different things in it. Like I was listening to like because I was editing that Dungeons and Dragons podcast and you had like just finished Full Metal.
Oh wow, that's
so awesome. I'm listening to it. And I'm just like, oh yeah, Full Metal Alchemist.
Yeah, it's so good. I just bought a Crunchyroll has a like I pre-ordered it a year ago and I forgot about it. But this
that's about how it happens with anime. Like you pre-order yeah. it and then like it takes 3.5 years to come out.
Yeah, so I pre-ordered this. Light up statue of Ed and Al, and it is like it's massive actually, but it's so cool from Crunchyroll, and it just came like a week ago, and it's already in my display case of collectibles.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty fantastic. It looks good because there's actually not a lot of merch for Full Metal Alchemist. I mean, I guess at this point it's like pretty
old.
Yeah,
it's been out for a while,
but I'm like, dang, I don't know. It's such a good one. But okay, so what else am I watching? So watching Psycho Pass.
Watching the My Hero.
Watching My Hero always. Which this last arc, the school festival, after the arc with Overhaul and Eri and all that stuff, it was like, I don't know. It was slow, but I get it. I'm excited for the next season. I'm excited we're like confirmed for season 5 and that it's going to keep going.
Yeah, so, I mean that it's great. Like I don't watch it mm-hmm. just because like I watched shonen anime growing up, and to me it just all kind of feels the same. It's the same formula, but you know, like we're gonna fight. We're gonna have a hero who is our protagonist who is kind of weak. Will learn how to do all of their powers. Become super ridiculously strong. There will be a tournament. There will be a mentor character that usually something happens to, like they usually die at some point.
Yeah.
So it's the same kind of formula, and
but it's so good.
I guess
it's so good, and actually the voice acting is incredible on the dub. Yeah, there's just a lot of really great performances, which is also something I appreciate about it. Aside from the character and the story and all that stuff, it's really good. It's worth it. You're in quarantine, man. Watch it.
I have more things to do.
Fine. You're like, right. I guess some of us have to be productive.
I've been playing Animal Crossing.
Oh gosh.
I've been one of those. I've been playing Animal Crossing.
I don't own a Switch, so I haven't fallen prey to the Animal Crossing.
Well, now it feels like, you know, people are moving on into the into the Final Fantasy VII remake.
Right. Yes. Which I never played either. This was your what?
This is my first Animal Crossing. Like, I never played them before. I've never played a Final Fantasy. But my friend was like, dude, you need to play it. And he was telling me all this stuff. And I was like, okay, fine, I'll play it. Because I already had a Switch.
Yeah.
And what we've been doing since quarantine started, we've been not good people. I live in an apartment complex. And I moved in next to some of my best friends from Oklahoma. They live literally right next door to me. So they come over on Friday nights and I make them dinner and then we play Mario.
That's awesome.
So we've been playing Super Mario Brothers Deluxe on the Switch every Friday night. We finally beat it last week.
Nice.
So it took us 4 weeks to beat the stupid thing.
Wow.
But we did it. So I had it and I was only using the Switch for Mario. And he was like, hey, here's this. So I downloaded the game, played it, and now I'm stuck there.
Nice.
On this island with my animals.
That's amazing. Yeah, I've been playing a lot of Apex Legends, which is my go-to game right now. PUBG for a while, although that game is so glitchy it's frustrating to play. But yeah, Apex Legends is a lot of fun.
Have you played the new Call of Duty?
Warzone? Like the Battle Royale? I have it downloaded, but I don't think I've played it. I think I've done... Okay, one of my buddies just asked me to download it, so I downloaded it like a week ago. I did the tutorial that you have to go through in order to be able to play in Battlezone, but I have not actually played a game on it, because every time I get on, I just turn on Apex.
Yeah. I like that it does have multiple modes, which is nice.
Modes so in, it's what, not, in like what way?
They've got like your standard, you know, like PUBG where you kill everybody and you want to be the first team.
Yeah.
But then they have like a cash grab game where you kill and you like that gives you cash. And then you go and you find all of these crates and everything and that gives you cash. And if you have the most cash at the end of this time limit, you win.
Oh, that's fun.
So it takes that same like, you know, Battle Royale, but it gives it kind of like a purpose too.
Yeah.
Because instead of having like, if you're like the number one team, it kind of gives like, it lets everybody know that you're the number one team. So people kind of like go towards you.
Yeah.
So instead of being fully on the offensive, you kind of go on the defensive because you kind of want to hole up. Because like if there's like 45 seconds left in the game, a lot of people are going to be coming towards the first place. So if you're first place, you want to like hide.
And so does it tell them on the map where you are?
Yes, it tells them on the map.
Ooh, that's fun.
So it like gives you like a help. So like whoever's in the lead, it's like ba-bing, and we'll let them, you know, you'll see, you know, where they are.
Yeah.
So it gives it like a special little bit of a something special, not just full like battle royale.
Last man standing. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fun. All right, I'll give it a shot. I'll give it a shot. You've convinced me. I've already got it downloaded anyway. It was a massive download. I feel like
it was so huge.
It was like 100 gigs or something like that. I'm like, what the heck?
Yeah, ridiculous.
Yeah, I had to delete a bunch of stuff. But yeah, so I've been playing Apex. I've been watching Psycho Pass. I've been watching My Hero. I've been watching a ton of Naked and Afraid XL. I am obsessed. I'm obsessed with this show. It's I mean, I guess, I don't know if it's the quarantine and, like, the survival aspect of the show, but you're familiar with Naked and Afraid, right?
Yes.
Okay, so Naked and Afraid XL, instead of every episode being two people and then at the end of the episode, they either make it or they don't, which is very fast. And having watched XL and going back and trying to watch regular Naked and Afraid, I don't really like it. XL follows a group for 40 days. And so each season is the same group. So you get to see, like, every episode is like a couple of days' time as opposed to 2 weeks' time. So you get to see a lot more stuff. When they first get launched to wherever the location is, they're like eight. They get split. So they're groups of like three or four people. And then what they don't know is that there's actually like 12 or 13 people out in the area that they're in, but they might be like 8 miles apart. And so eventually what happens over the course of the season is like, someone will leave an area to find new resources, and they'll run into another group.
Come across a new group.
Yeah, and then they'll merge, and then like, so by the end, most of the time, you have like a group of like, I don't know, anywhere from like 8 to 12 people who are trying to cross the finish line together. But it just adds a whole new level of like, you know, because when you're hunting for resources or trying to find food, like feeding 9 people versus 2 people is a lot different. So I don't know. It's it's really fun. And you get to know the people over the course of the season. So,
see, that sounds a lot better than regular Naked and Afraid.
Yeah. Like I said, I've never really watched the regular one, but then trying to watch it after watching XL, I'm like, this is lame. Because they basically just show you the stuff that people want to see in reality shows, which is like people getting mad and the fights. Like,
yes.
But I want to see, like, I don't know, I want to see the guy's method for figuring out how he can catch eels in a little river pond or little whatever, you know, and they, like, have time to explain it and, like, show it, and I don't know. You still get the drama because, of course, people are hangry after, like, 30 days of no food. But, yeah, it's really – so I've been watching a ton of that, and then – my guilty pleasure, which just started April 1st, is The Challenge on MTV. That is like my all-time favorite reality show.
I don't know what that is. What's The Challenge?
Oh, man. It's so good. It's so good. It's been on for years. So back in like the 90s when The Real World started, a few years after The Real World was on, they started a show called Road Rules. Yes. And basically like... yeah, so you know what it is. So they would take people from Real World, and then they would also cast their own people directly to the show. And the Road Rules people would hop in an RV, and they would drive around the United States and compete and, like, do these, like, challenges and competitions. And I'm pretty sure at that, like, initially you could win money or something, but it was, like, I think you did it as a team. But that has sort of evolved. So they, at one point they had Road Rules The Challenge. And then it just, they lost Road Rules because they don't travel anymore. They go to one location. And it's sort of like The Real World meets Survivor, but like amped up a little bit. And what's cool about it is, so there's like extreme games. There's different themes every season. So like this season is an every man for himself game. But before they do like War of the Worlds, where it's like they'll have like people who are from the MTV reality show legacy, like Real World or the other challenges, compete against people who've won like Survivor and Big Brother and a bunch of different like other shows too. So I don't know, it's fun. What I love about it is a lot of the same people are on it that have been on it for years. So it's people that I've been watching on either The Real World or The Challenge for literally, like, some of them have been on for like, I don't know, 15 seasons of The Challenge.
Dang.
Yeah. So they bring the same people, a lot of the same people back. They'll introduce new people like every season. But it's mostly people you've seen before who are competing again. So you know, like, oh, like Wes is, you know, his strategy is very, very mental. And you know that like CT always likes to play it cool. And he doesn't really, you know, cause any waves until he has to like choose a side, and you know, so there's like all this stuff. It's totally strategy. It's it's a lot of fun. So that's on MTV. And then I do also love Survivor. So I watch Survivor too.
Yeah. Your son's a lot cooler than mine. I've just been watching a lot of Korean dramas. That's, that's what I've been doing.
Just sitting alone, crying in quarantine, watching your K-dramas.
Like I watched, the second season of Kingdom came out during quarantine. Uh-huh. And it's like, zombie infection takes place in like in Korea,
Okay.
but it's like oh shoot, it's not like medieval Korea. It's like words are escaping me.
Just
I don't
like
know.
old time Korea.
Old time Korea, yeah. Like
Yeah.
they've just got guns, basically.
Okay.
So it's pretty old, and it's like all of this, Korea, and it's great. And then I've been watching these two other ones. One of them is about like a plane goes down, and it's a terrorist attack, and you think it's because these like two rival airline companies are vying to get the Korean sponsorship to make these new planes.
Yeah.
So this military contract, and this one company basically crashes this plane, and makes it seem like it's mechanical failure because the other airline corporation owns this plane. So they're like, "Oh no, you can't trust these guys because their plane went down."
Gotcha.
And they killed like all these people, and they killed this one guy's nephew who is a stuntman. And so that's their excuse for giving him, the best powers imaginable. He like does parkour. He'll get thrown off a building and just be totally fine. So that's how they can justify it, 'cause he's a
That's
stuntman.
awesome.
And then I've been watching this other one, which isn't as cool, but it's about like Korean lawyers. And like this one lawyer kind of catfishes this other lawyer at the beginning, like gets involved with him, so that she can steal all of his, documents on this case, because she is the other lawyer. She's the defense to his prosecution. And
Yeah.
it's a crazy thing. And then they end up working at the same law firm, which is like this big law firm in Korea. And
Sounds
it's
like
amazing.
drama.
It's so drama, and it's amazing. I love it. It has
Where do
one
you
of
watch these?
Netflix.
On Netflix, okay.
Yeah, it has one of the best product placements in anything I've ever seen.
Like across the board, or like are you talking
Across the
about one
board.
specific moment where they placed a product and you were like, wow, that was incredible?
Well, they do it a lot. Like, that's one thing that I've noticed in these like K dramas, like in Vagabond, which is the one with the plane crash. They eat at Subway all the time.
That's
Like, you'll
hilarious.
go and like it's a Subway. Like, they're like, "We should meet at at a restaurant," and they go to Subway.
That's
And I'm
awesome.
like, "All right, I get you, Subway." The food and everything looks way nicer than an American Subway. And then they go, and Hyena, the lawyer one, they go and they go to this Aunt Annie's. And it's the nicest Aunt Annie's that's ever been made.
Isn't that a pretzel
It,
place?
yes.
Okay.
But it's like a store. Instead of being like in a mall somewhere, it's like its own like storefront.
Okay.
And so they do this shot of like they show all the pretzels and everything, and it's just so over the top. It looks like an actual commercial for Aunt Annie's
That's
in
amazing.
this K-drama.
So,
And I just watched it and I was like, this is amazing. I want this.
do you watch the dubs or do you watch the subs? Do they have them
Most of
dubbed?
them don't have dubs.
Okay.
So it's usually just subs, so you gotta read.
Okay. So Netflix has like done this thing where they've started to dub a lot of like really popular shows from other countries. So like if Netflix Turkey had like, this show that was super popular, they'll dub it and then because I've worked on probably, I don't know, four of them at this point. So if you want to get wild and you want to watch a Turkish show on Netflix called The Protector, turn on the dub and you can hear me.
Oh, now I'm writing down the protector.
Yeah, I play like a Rastafarian. I think I'm in the first two episodes. I play like a Rastafarian Turkish guy who's the best friend to the main guy.
That's awesome. Well, like, because like I know they've done that for. I mean, they did that for a couple of like some South American dramas.
Yeah,
I
so
think
one
they're
of them,
Brazil. Yeah.
there's like a what is it? Is it a narcotics family or something? I forget what it is, but I played the teenage son in one of them. I forget what it's called. Oh, that's horrible. Yeah. But I'm on one of those two. I keep playing like the you know, the son of the like the
high kingpin.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know,
who in the one that I did is actually the mom.
Okay.
Gosh, what was it called? I don't know. What's funny is when I record all of these, when I book them, they always have some kind of code name. So I don't ever find out what the actual name is until usually they'll do like a press release, like when it comes out. But I work on it for however long I work on it under a different name. So I don't know what it's actually called.
Yeah, it's one of those – it's a weird thing because, like, I was I knew a voice actor, and I guess it's okay to talk about this because it's not really NDA, but he did an audition, and he was looking at all of the words, and he was like, this sounds familiar, but they wouldn't tell him what the actual title was.
Yeah.
So he's, like, looking at it, and he's like, hold on. So he goes, and he looks it up, and it was for Final Fantasy VII.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, yeah. Like, it was a script for the remake that they just weren't telling him it was for the remake. And it was like, oh, he's looked at him and was like, I thought I knew that. Like, I thought I had heard that before because this one character says this. So he was like, totally. Ah.
Yeah, that happens all the time. I mean, there's a lot of codenamed projects, and I'll do the same thing. I'll be like, this, I swear this is like, you know, Halo. This sounds like Halo.
Mm-hmm.
But they'll try and change things in the scripts, like a Halo script might say like Mr. Chief instead of Master Chief, like they do. And it's like, guys, really? Like, just we'll sign an NDA. How about that?
Yeah, just let me sign it. Just
let us.
At some point, you're like,
normal words.
Don't fool around. Just do. Because like, I mean, I remember working at the movie theater, and that's kind of what that was. Like, you would get, you know, because when I worked at a movie theater, it was all it wasn't digital. So we still had film, and we had to splice the films together. So they would come in like two or three, depending on how big the movie was, these like box things, and they would have like three reels of the film in it each. And you would have to splice all the film together and then put it on a wheel and make the wheel go, and then you thread it through, and it was a fun, you know, wonderful.
That's cool.
Everything.
Yeah.
But we would get them in. If they were big movies, they would never have the correct name. Like, when we got Episode 3, it wasn't called Episode 3. It was called some sort of Western.
And is it that was because, like, they don't want, like, someone will steal the shipment or something?
Yeah, because...
So cool.
Unfortunately, what they'll do, because, like, when these places deliver these films, the movie theater isn't usually open. So what they'll do is they'll have a key to the back, and they'll, like, put them by the back door.
Wow.
So it's like, you could literally come and like jack a movie if you were daring enough, but we were in a mall, so it kind of helped us out a little bit, but they would just like leave these canisters of films, and you're just like, all right, I'm glad no one decided to take whatever this movie is, and then you get it out, and you're like, oh, it's, you know, the new Star Trek movie, and you're like, all right.
That's so cool.
And just crazy stuff like that.
Who would have thought people were trying to jack films on reels? And I mean, I guess it makes sense, but I didn't even know that was possible.
Yeah, and now I don't know if anybody still does that. Like, I think everything's gone digital.
Well,
just
because
then you don't have to, because we would have to, whenever we got a movie, every Thursday we would have to screen the movie. No matter what movie it is, so I've seen a ton of movies that I've never wanted to see before, because you would have to, because you're building the movie, so you assemble the movie, and then you have to run it through the projector to make sure that everything's good, make sure that you didn't flip the sound on the film, because you can see, like, it's got these little lines, and that's the sound, so you have to make sure that, like, all of your sounds are, you know, spliced together. You don't want your movie, like, one part of your movie to be one way, and then you've spliced it wrong, and then the movie's flipped.
Yeah.
So you always had to watch it to make sure that everything in the movie was good. And yeah, it was always a pain to do, but again, you get to watch all the movies, and especially if you got multiple versions of the movie, you had to watch each version of the movie unless somebody else was there with you. Ugh. So there was one point where I had to watch Hancock twice. I'm like, this isn't a good movie, but I have to watch it again.
You're like, dang it. Like, maybe it'll end differently.
It's but like, no. It didn't. It didn't end differently.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
That's cool. You had tweeted something earlier about you looking for, you know, comic books. So are you, like, getting into comic books?
Oh, no, actually. So what I last year, my parents were kind of cleaning out a storage shed that they had at my childhood house. And, I'm the kind of person, like, I've been a collector since I was a kid. So toys, comic books, all that stuff. I was the kid who, like, didn't open his toys because I wanted to save them just in case, like, they were worth something someday. I don't even know where I got this concept, but it was just something I've always done. So last year they were cleaning out the stuff. They're like, all right, we got to bring all this down to you. So they brought me down a bunch of storage bins full of toys. And then I also had two of the long cardboard comic book cases, like holders. And I just have a ton of comic books. So I'm actually looking to figure out what the best way to catalog them, find out what's worth what, and then sort of, I think, start selling them off. I don't necessarily want to keep them. I didn't ever have like a full collection of anything or anything that I read regularly. I mostly collected comic books because I liked the art.
Yeah.
So I would get like the ones with the cool covers. And my dad and I built this, like, we took wood trim and put it along the border of the ceiling of my room. So I could, basically I had a border around the top of my walls of comic books all around my room. So I could swap them in and out. So I would get new ones or ones that cool. I would get signed and stuff, and I would display them in my room. So I've just got a ton of stuff that I've got to figure out. I've got to figure out what I'm doing with.
Are they bagged and boarded and everything?
Yeah, everything's bagged and boarded. A lot of them are signed because I was doing things like going to WonderCon and getting the artists to sign things. Or like if there was a cover that I really liked, I would find out who did it. Either drew it or inked it or colored it or whatever, and then try and get them to sign it. But I have some ones that I know are like decently valuable, but I also don't want to pay to have them graded, and then I don't know, that just seems like,
yeah,
you would want to do that if they're really valuable, but I don't know that any that I have are super valuable.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I've got some good ones, but it's like they're like maybe $20.
Yeah.
And I'm like, right, I don't want to, you know, pay like $20 to get this graded to then sell it for $20.
Well, and a lot of them are even more than, like, it's like expensive to have them graded. It's like $50-$60 or something like that. I'm like, dang, that is a that's a lot of money for the amount that I have in those boxes also. Mm-hmm. So.
And unfortunately, it's one of those, like, with signatures, like, if you get it signed, they won't grade it. Because they have to show that, you know, it was signed by the actual person.
Oh, that's interesting.
So yeah, it's weird.
I had no idea.
So like those, mine that I have, like I just display mine. Like I've got some like old school, like Crisis on Infinite Earths and the New Teen Titans signed by George Perez.
Nice.
So, cause I was like, man, I love his art. So yeah. I got those. I got him to sign them. So I'm just like, oh, well, I mean, they're just fine for me. I've got them displayed nicely in my office. So
yeah. Well, I mean, I think I have like a ton of Rob Liefeld signed things. And I'm like, come on, how can that be fake? He literally is at every single convention signing. Yeah, he's like everywhere. I'm like, come on. It's funny that you say that, but I've always wondered if having someone sign something makes it less or more valuable. And I guess, I mean,
well, it depends on the person. Like, if it's just like a normal collector, like for me, for instance, if it's signed, I'll be like, oh, that's pretty cool. Like, it wouldn't matter to me. But there are those collectors that are like, I want the pristine everything on it. So if you put ink to it, that degrades it for me because that covers whatever. I want just the comic book by itself.
Yeah.
Even if you were like, Stan Lee is going to sign this, personalize it for you, they'd be like, no, I just want the comic.
Yeah, that's so funny. Yeah, I've seen that. I'm trying to think. I feel like I'm probably more of the I would want it pristine kind of person.
Yeah. I mean, everybody's got their own stuff.
Because it's hard to find something that's in perfect condition.
Yeah.
I think that's harder than finding
years ago.
Yeah, it's harder to find something like that than it is to find something that's signed by somebody.
Yeah, because I have an old Captain America, like the first appearance of Nick Fury.
Uh-huh.
And it's graded and everything, just because I was like, well, this is an expensive one.
Yeah.
So it's graded and it's displayed, but at the same time, like, I've got it displayed and it's just sitting there. And it's right. Like, it's in its little thing. I could never read it, even if I wanted to. So it's like, oh, well.
See, I don't know. I like that. I, the collector in me is like, oh, that's cool, because you know it's worth something. It's been graded. Like, you have that. It will always be that. Like, that is, I don't know. As opposed to, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, but then, like I said, I was the kid who kept things in boxes. Like, I was okay not playing with a toy that I really liked because it would stay and look cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was fun to me. So,
what were you big into growing up?
Ooh, I was super into Ninja Turtles.
Nice.
I was super into Thundercats.
Good which, old like, Thundercats.
I know. Like,
who's your favorite? Okay, who's your favorite Ninja Turtle? Who's your favorite Thundercat?
Ooh, Ninja Turtle. Well, Michelangelo has been my favorite forever, but I have a huge appreciation for Leonardo as well. I mean, I love all the turtles, but I have a huge appreciation for Leonardo.
I was a Donatello
Leo.
Kid.
A Donatello kid? Yeah. I mean, see, I like Donatello a lot. I don't know. Like, I actually think, like, if I was going to voice one of the turtles at some point, I think, like, it might be the most fun to do Donatello.
Because he's, like, the smart one. He's got all the ideas and everything like that, and he gets to mumble off techno jargon.
Right. Which is super fun. It's like vocal gymnastics. But I also like, I mean, I like Leo's personality, but then Mikey is just fun.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that's why they're so popular, is because they're all kind of like a part of everybody. Like, you can find something that's likable and relatable in each turtle. I don't know. I can get
except
super deep
for Raphael,
about Ninja Turtles.
He's the worst.
No, I'm just Raphael. I'm like, sometimes I'm just mad. Like, sometimes I just want to be mad. Let me just be angry. Let me be emo boy a little bit. So, okay. So, Thundercats, Ninja Turtles. Later on, I was super into Power Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Trying to think what other toys I have. Yeah, I would say those were the main ones. I mean, anything martial arts related was always.
Yeah.
You know.
Were you big into wrestling? Like, with because I mean, you do have a martial arts background. Like, were you big into like the like WWF at the time and all that
stuff?
Yeah.
So there was a period where I was super into wrestling, and that was probably like 9th grade through 11th or 12th grade. A lot of my high school friends were super into it, which kind of got me into it. I mean, even when I was a kid, I was into it. Like, I had the old school, like, 8-inch, fully rubber WWF figures. Like, I had Andre the Giant and Hulk Hogan and, like, Junkyard Dog. Like, I had all those guys. So, yeah, I mean, I watched it when I was a kid. I feel like I watched so much stuff. Not that I was always in front of the TV, but I just, like... Well, because my parents brought all my old toys down, going through everything, like at the end of last year, I got to see again what I had when I was a kid. And I literally had toys from when I first started getting toys. Like, I kept everything. It's kind of crazy. There was like 20 storage bins full of stuff that I had to go through.
Yeah, you know, it happens.
So, yeah, like Captain Power, which I don't even know when that came out. It was probably like 86 or 87 or something like that. Captain Power was this cool show. And I know it was on TV, but I don't remember when it was on or what channel it was on. But what I remember is they sold VHS tapes of episodes. And so I had a bunch of the VHS tapes, but they sold... Do you know what Captain Power is? Do you remember Captain
Power? I have no idea what Captain Power is.
Okay.
I'm trying to look up Captain Power to see if it's like jogging my memory.
So Captain Power... They like the merchandise for this show was awesome. So they sold these like handheld planes that almost look like, like some kind of like like Star Wars jet or something like that, because it was kind of futuristic. I think it took place on like another planet or in space or something like that. But these planes that they sold had a handle, almost like a gun. So when you would hold the handle in your hand, it was like, you know, you were holding the whole plane. And there was a trigger on it, and it was sort of like laser tag, but you would follow along these VHS tapes, and you could shoot at the TV, and it would register, like, how many hits you were getting and all this stuff. It was very cool, and so I was super into that. I was really into Captain Power.
Oh, I just found those cool, those jet things.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I feel like it, I don't know, that's totally something that could, is still around or could come out now. What else? I had a lot of G.I. Joes, but I didn't come to G.I. Joe until probably the early 90s. I think they were super popular in the early 80s and then really started going downhill end of the 80s because things like Transformers and like cooler toys were coming out. But then there was a resurgence in popularity in the early 90s, and then that's when I started collecting G.I. Joe stuff. So I have like the General, which is this massive, like, tank/helicopter carrier. It's got a giant cannon on the back. But, like, I unearthed that from one of the storage bins and was like, oh, my gosh, I forgot about this thing. It literally took up a storage bin by itself. But I had every single missile. I had every single decal. Everything was in, like, perfect condition because that's the kind of kid I was. I mean, that thing goes for, I think when I looked at it on eBay, if it's complete, it goes for like $600 or $700.
Yeah, that's not bad at all.
Yeah, totally not bad. And I'm like, you know what? I don't need to sell this right now. I'm going to keep it. So I sold a ton of stuff on eBay. Random stuff too, like the Mighty Ducks figurines from Disney's Mighty Ducks animated series.
Oh, God, yeah.
So I had stuff from that. Gosh, what else did I sell? So many things. I had a lot of collectibles from like the Disney store that I sold, but I kept all my original Ninja Turtles. I kept all my Power Ranger stuff, and I kept all of my G.I. Joe stuff. So that stuff I still have in bins. I just went and cataloged it, and I know what I have. So in another 20 years, when I unearth those bins, when I open them, there's like a legend that has the contents of each thing and what's all there, so that I know I don't have to catalog it again. But it was fun. It was really fun going through and looking at all the stuff that I really liked as a kid, and yeah, just kind of reliving those
reliving
memories.
Those memories, yeah.
Yeah.
Like because I remember when I left home, like got rid of a bunch of stuff. Like I just ended up donating it because I was like, I'm moving to a place that's very small, so yeah. I have no room for any of this. So like going through, like I had like all of my Ninja Turtles. I had my Power Rangers, those flippy Power Rangers ones where you would like flip their backs and their heads and they would transform.
Yeah, from their head into their with their helmet on.
Their helmet. Yep.
Yep.
I had a ton of. Do you remember like the Batman figures, that there would be like 1,000 different Batman figures? Like this was like Hunting in the Snow Batman. This is Disco Rave Batman. Yes. And it was just all Batmans of different colors and everything. I had a ton of those with all of their original capes and accessories.
Nice.
All of my Jurassic Park toys and my Legos. Like I had all my original Jurassic Park people with all of their dinosaurs and net launchers and everything.
Wow.
But yeah, I just ended up unfortunately donating them. Now I wish I would have kept them.
Well, that's okay. Hopefully somewhere some kid is having a blast with them, or some collector found them and is like, oh,
hopefully they went to good use. That's the main thing. It's like, as long as they went to good use, that's all I really care about.
Yeah. Yeah, it was hard. It was hard trying to decide what I wanted to keep and what I wanted to get rid of. But like I have, in my office, I have a lot of my collectibles displayed in these cool little, like, vintage display cases from... They're not actual vintage. They just look vintage, but they're from IKEA. This company, NECA, made... They did... Are you familiar with NECA?
I believe so.
Okay, so they do, action figures, but they are scaled models of and like exact replicas. So they have, I think it's 1/8 inch scale, or maybe it's 6 inch or 1/6 scale figures of the Ninja Turtles from the original Ninja Turtles movie.
Oh, nice.
And these figures, I mean, they look, if you were to take a camera and like zoom in, it would look like you're watching the movie. Like the, these figures are so cool. And they sold them as a box set at Comic-Con, not last year, but the year before. So I think 2018 San Diego Comic-Con, they sold these four turtles and they just look so cool. So I have those on display with my original Ninja Turtles VHS, movie VHS. And then on the bottom of the same case, I have my original turtle van with my original four Ninja Turtles that I played with when I was a kid. It's funny.
Oh,
like,
dang, sorry, I just pulled up those Ninja Turtles. Holy crap.
Don't they look awesome?
Those are amazing.
Yeah, so they actually just released a Shredder and a Splinter. Also, they had done it in the past, but they're re-releasing them now because they've been so popular. And I don't know if it's out yet, but they have a Casey Jones coming that's from the movie that looks so good. It looks so good. So, yeah, it's funny because, you know, going through all my old toys, I'm like, oh, what do I want to do with these? Do I want to keep them? Some of them are so nostalgic and have had such a big impact on just, like, the things I like and – you know, my style as far as like doing martial arts my whole life and, you know, Ninja Turtles and Power Rangers and all this stuff. So I still like collecting things. So what I decided I wanted to do was sort of have like a before and after in a lot of my cases. So like I like having my original Ninja Turtles, the four original Ninja Turtles in front of their turtle van on one shelf. And then like the adult collector version on another shelf. So that's where like these figures from NECA come in. And like, it's like, obviously I don't think they're made for kids. I think they're made for the adult collector who collected Ninja Turtles and, you know, whatever. So it's fun. Like I also have, actually that same year on 2018 at San Diego Comic-Con, Bandai released an exclusive Megazord. That was like a Soul of Chokugan Megazord, which is – so Soul of Chokugan was this like sort of – it was a Bandai company, I believe, back in the 80s, but it was like an offshoot of them. It was higher-end collectibles for adults of like the toys that they were making for the kids. So they would basically make like they have a Voltron one. They had a Voltron one, for example. So instead of like a plastic or just like a simple version, they would make – a die-cast metal, painted version of these toys. So Soul of Choke again is like made a comeback. They released a black and green Megazord, like original Megazord from the Power Rangers. That was all die-cast metal. So I have like my original Megazord, and then I have that one, and then I also have a 1980s Voltron that my cousin gave me that I found when I went through all my storage bins, but I was missing a couple pieces. So I like sourced them on eBay and from some other collector sites and basically like reformed Voltron, the 80s one. And then Soul of Chokugan made a die-cast Voltron, like an updated version. Oh man, these toys are so cool. Like they're so well made. They look incredible. They're like super heavy.
Oh, dude. Sorry. I just pulled up.
Are you looking
the
up
black
stuff?
One? Oh my gosh. That's amazing.
Awesome? Yeah, they're all so cool. They're all so cool. So I have the Soul of Chokugan Voltron, and I have the Soul of Chokugan that Megazord in my case as well.
Oh, there's the black one. Oh, dude.
Look up the Voltron one. The Voltron one is like, it's beautiful. I like the Megazord one, and I actually think they did one in the original colors, so like I'm sure that I could get that if I wanted. But I thought the black and green one was really cool.
Ooh.
Just kind of a unique take on it. But the Voltron one is the original colors, and
I kind of like just the cats by themselves.
Yeah,
if it was me and I had, you know, access to get these, I would get all of the cats and the Voltron and then just display all of them together.
Well, so, like, I mean, they
basically
come,
two sets.
They well, here's the thing. You can take apart the Voltron.
I know, but I would want both. I would want I would want to display the cats and then display Voltron.
That's awesome.
Cuz like, yeah, when I do stuff like that, like, I have to go the whole way or else I just can't do it.
Well, that's kind of like me too. That's the exact reason why I cannot collect Pop Funkos. Like, I like some of them, but I can't get fully on board with Pop Funkos for a couple of reasons. One of them being, it's impossible to have all of them. Like, you just can't collect all of the Funkos. So
you just have to collect the ones in your, like, in the thing that you're getting. Like, if you get, like, the Game of Thrones ones, you would have to just get the Game of Thrones ones or just get the Harry Potter ones.
Yeah, I don't know. But still, even that, there's, like, so many of them. Yeah. I just don't like how they are displayed. Like, I don't know. I have some from My Hero Academia. But I also don't like the fact that they're sort of, I mean, I guess all this stuff is probably mass produced and maybe it just seems like it's not, but there's so many of them. Like, nothing is actually truly collectors. Like, except the ones that are almost unattainable, you know? I mean, I have an Ace Ventura Pop Funko that somebody gifted me. That's really cool. And that's vaulted, so, like, supposedly not coming back. It was one of the really early ones that they released. So it's like, you know, I think the last I checked, it was going on eBay for, like, $350 or $400 or something like that. Like, I like that. But, like, for the My Hero Academia, they have three pops that came out from My Hero Academia that are considered, like, the grails, like, the holy grails of My Hero Academia pops. One of them is Ochaka, masked from San Diego Comic-Con. That was an exclusive one there. Another one is...
Is that Hands Boy?
No, that's Bubble Girl or Gravity Girl.
Sorry, I don't know any of their names. I know there's Deku and Bakugo.
Yeah.
And
Todoroki.
And then the grape one.
There's a
one.
Million of them. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No one likes that guy. Mineta.
I didn't think so. Yeah. He seemed to be like... it's weird. Like, that's definitely a thing, like, with, you know, you get that kind of pervy character in a lot of anime. But it just feels like now at this day and age, like, that character is, like, nobody likes. Like, we can get rid of this character now. And so it feels like he's just on the cusp of it to where, like, I'm sure it's, like, in the manga, I'm sure it was hilarious. But then, like, as it went on, it was like, yeah, we don't need this anymore.
Yeah, it's like, okay, yeah, we've seen enough of this guy. Yeah, what are the other... So there's a... And one of the grails is, in 2017, Funimation released a glow-in-the-dark All Might. And it was apparently, like, really hard to get. And it was going for a decent amount, like, I mean, $250 or something like that. So a lot of people wanted it. And I was like, oh, that's actually a really cool one. So I had another Funko that I didn't really like that somebody gave me. Or that I got at, like, an event or something like that. Like, I went to the Dragon Ball Z Super Broly premiere and they gave out gift bags. Mm-hmm. And in it, there was a Funko that was going for, like, $150 or something like that. So I was like, you know what? I'll sell that one because I don't really care about that. I'll sell that one and then I'll get the glow-in-the-dark All Might. So I got it. And then, like, 2 months later, Funko did a re-release of the glow-in-the-dark All Might from 2017. This was in 2019 with the 2017 sticker. So it just, like, undid.
Oh, that sucks.
The value dropped significantly. I'm like, ah, that's just dumb. Like, I don't know. You think you're safe? Not safe. I mean, it's not like I'm investing in Funkos or something like that, but still, like, I like them because they are collectible. I like collectibles because they are collectible. I don't like it if it's just easily attainable.
Yeah, you know? I mean, I do this.
I like to work for it.
I do the same thing with Pokemon cards.
Yeah.
Like, I don't play the game, and, like, it's only kind of started in the last, like, year, Like, I'll get them, and I've donated so many Pokemon cards because, like, it, just like the scrub, like the scrub Pokemon. I don't care about those. Like, I will give those away. Like, somebody can have those. I only care about these holographics or these like misprint ones, these error cards, and these like banned Japanese ones. Like, those are the ones that I collect because I'm like, oh, like if it's like 25 cents, no, that can be donated. But like, I've got some, like I pulled one that's $800 and I'm like, if I get it graded and it's like, it's a 10, it's $800. So I'm like, I look at it and I'm like, the centering's not 100% perfect. So I don't want to get it graded.
Yeah.
Cause then like the moment that you get it graded and it comes back like an 8 or a 9, it's like $400. So it's like reduced almost by half, if not more. So it's like, I'll just wait. I'll just keep it in its little, its nice little plasticky case, you know, in my stuff. So like that, but it's also a crapshoot because something crazy could happen and a card that you don't think is worth anything can be the most valuable card in this entire set. Like there's some like, and then cards that you don't think about, or cards that you are like, oh yeah, this is a Charizard. It's going to be worth the most. It's like worth nothing. And you're like, oh, well, how come this like trainer card is worth more than this card? It's a crapshoot half the time. But I do a lot of the Japanese cards just because the Japanese cards, they're like way cleaner than the American cards. Cause like you hardly ever have to worry about centering on a Japanese card because they take way more pride in doing everything than like the mass production of like the American cards. So that's like, I have a bunch of Japanese cards and I'm just like, yes, so pretty.
Dude, do you ever like post any of your stuff online?
I've posted some. I think one of the only posts that it's so nerdy that like I don't think a lot of people care. But like I did post one where they were doing this pack, and you could get a god pack. And that was all, it was Japanese cards, and usually you only get like 6 cards in a Japanese pack, whereas an American you get 11. This one, it was a special thing of 11 cards. So they would give you 11 Japanese cards, and one out of every 100 or 200 packs was called a God pack, and all of that pack was all holographics. Oh, so the entire pack was holos, and so like I bought 3 of these cases, had them shipped from Japan, and I was like, all right, I'm just gonna open one case. So I opened it and. Like, my third pack was a god pack.
Oh, my gosh.
And I, like, opened it, and I was... Because, like, there's, like... You can... Like, if you get a trainer card... Or a holo energy card is your first card in this pack, then you've gotten a god pack. So I open the thing, and I pull it out, and the first card is a holo energy. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. So I pulled it out, and, like, that's, like, the only picture that I've taken of Pokemon cards. So I'm like, I got a god pack.
I would be so stoked. That's so cool.
I was like, when I pulled it, I was like, oh my gosh, like I was like, my hands were shaking, and like I was looking at the cards and I'm like, they're not like ridiculously, I think one of them's like worth $100, and the rest of them are like in that like 10, 20, you know, $5 range, but I was like, just the experience of it, I was like, that was worth it, that was worth the entire box right there.
So did you still just open one box, or did you open the other?
No, I have 2 of them. They're just sitting there right now. Like, I've got 2 other ones, because I'm like, maybe I just got lucky. And so I've got, you know, 2 boxes just kind of sitting here. I could open them, but it's also, like, that's another thing with Pokemon cards. Like, if you hold on to cards themselves, like, there are packs that are worth, like, $1,000 just for a pack.
Wow. Wow.
Like, if they're, like, older Pokemon cards, so that's why, like, I try to go, you know, if there is a, like, a flea market or something, and I get kind of word that there's going to be people selling, you know, cards and stuff, I'll go. Yeah. Because, like, if you can find an old pack of Pokemon cards, like base set unopened Pokemon cards go for, like, $500.
Wow.
So, like, that's just a pack. Like, it could be whatever. So if you can find like old boxes and stuff, like if you can find an unopened box with the like OG like Pokemon wrapper on it from like Wizards of the Coast,
yeah,
it's like $5,000, like depending on the box. And it's just like whatever deck it is, or it's one of those Pokemon cards, like they retain their value for some stupid reason. Because there's that
That's so funny.
Base set Charizard, I think that goes for like $10,000.
Wow.
So it's like if you can get a 10 like base set Charizard, like you're set. You'll be okay. You can basically buy a car.
Wow.
Like I trade this That's card insane. For a car.
Yeah. Pokemon car.
Oh, I would love a Pokemon car. It's got little Pikachu ears.
Yeah. Dude, that's so cool.
Ah, man. So collecting's fun, but it's also tedious.
Yes. That's the part I like about it too, is I like that it's like I got to work for something, or like, you know, I don't know. I like that. I do like that aspect.
Yeah. And it's nice though, like when you can like physically go and buy something, whereas like, again, like with the Pokemon cards, like it's just a pack and you could get screwed. Like you could get a whole thing and get nothing. Like you could buy a whole box of Pokemon cards and get nothing.
Right.
Like spend your $100 and get like a $5 card and be like, well, that was it. I've wasted $95.
Well, dude, have you watched, speaking of like, you know, things we've already talked about, but other things that I've watched, I watched McMillions on HBO.
Dude, I loved McMillions. I don't know anybody else that's watched it. So yes. I'm glad you watched it.
I loved it also, but it's also kind of like, dang, I wonder how much other stuff this happens with.
Oh, gotta be tons, man. Because, I mean, you know? McDonald's was so strict with their stuff, but there's gotta be someone that wasn't as strict.
Yeah.
And you know like, that
like,
happened.
Like, is it really 1 in 10, you know, or 1 in, like, 100 packs? Like, how do I know? That's just what you say. Like, do you – I don't know. Yeah, I always wonder about things like that. It's like, especially when you get a – I just got a weird email.
Oh, no worries. I mean, it's weird because, I mean, that happens with cards. I mean, be it Pokemon cards, Yu-Gi-Oh cards, whatever. People will buy those cards, open the packs up very carefully, look for cards, and then if they don't find the ones that they want, or they'll take the ones out that they want, and then they'll insert another card and then reseal them and then sell them.
See?
And
I
it's
know.
The this... worst thing, and I'm just like,
yeah, that's horrible.
I've only gotten one thing from Amazon that was like that, where it was clearly done, and so like I sent it back, and I was like, guys, this is clearly opened, like the reseal's not even good on it, like the bits of the foil are still like they didn't even like clamp it all the way shut.
Yeah,
and it's just like, no, refund me. And you know, Amazon's super cool about that stuff because they don't like that either, because that brings their, you know, it, you know, brings their like reviews
reputation
down. So they're like, we'll refund that. So
yeah,
man. But no, yeah, like with the McMillions thing, there's got to be places that are doing that exact same thing where it's like you can win this, and you're obviously not going to,
right?
Like Publishers Clearinghouse.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, McMillions was crazy. McMillions. Did you watch Tiger King also?
Tiger King.
Tiger King's just ridiculous.
Like, I'm from Oklahoma, and I've been to Wynnewood.
Have you?
Yeah.
Wait, not to the zoo?
No, yeah, to the zoo.
Oh, my God.
Well, because, like, that's the thing. Like, it's like an hour and a half away from Oklahoma City. So
dude, you have
like,
to watch this thing then.
A lot of people would just go there because, and especially with you could hold a tiger cub. And it was like, yes. Yeah, I'll hold a tiger cub.
Yeah. Do you have pictures of yourself from there?
Oh, dude, I don't have like half of my pictures. I found like the only pictures that I have left because like my mom passed away at the beginning of last year. So she had a house and it was kind of a mess, but a lot of stuff was in a storage facility that got flooded. So half of the stuff I don't have anymore. Like I was like
such a bummer.
The only things that I have were what were in her house. So like I have maybe like a small folder worth of like my childhood pictures.
Yeah.
But like there's like a gap. Like you see like kindergarten into first grade, and then there's nothing until my senior year of high school.
Oh, that's
because it
so
was
sad.
all in the storage.
Yeah.
But like there is a one photo. I'm maybe like three. It's like Christmas morning, and I'm wearing like my awesome Ninja Turtles jammies, and I'm
awesome.
Holding a Donatello in my hand. Like I just opened it, so it's still in the box, and I'm like,
yeah.
I remember this because I remember those jammies, and I remember that Donatello toy.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
But no, yeah, like, I wish, because like there is a photo of me. I was probably like 10, and I've got I'm holding a little tiger cub.
Dude, that would be an amazing thing to post up right now.
I mean,
that's so crazy. Well, like, I mean, I didn't even put two and two together. Like, I should have asked you sooner.
Well, it's one of those things, like, in Oklahoma, like, we knew that the guy was there, but we all just, like, thought, it was like, yeah, the dude's crazy. Like, it was never anything to where, like, where it is now. So, like,
there's,
like, people in Oklahoma were just like, well, yeah, he was just a weirdo.
Well, and what's crazy is it's still going. It's like,
yeah,
it's like a lot of these people are still, I mean, obviously Joe Exotic he's in jail, but like there's other people who are doing stuff. I don't know. It's crazy. It's really crazy. I mean, I don't know that I liked the documentary. I actually think I liked McMillions more. But I mean, especially because you've got like home ties there. Dude, you might know people who work there. You might be like, oh my God, there's Jane.
But maybe. I mean, it's one of those, like, I had really no desire to watch it because everybody, like, again, already kind of knew the story because I lived in Oklahoma. So, I mean, like, you kind of follow it just, like, through the news. But I was listening to Chris Jericho has a podcast called Talk is Jericho. And he had one of the guys from Tiger King on there. I guess, like, the guy who rode the jet ski.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who, I guess, narked on him to the FBI. Like, he was on there, and he's basically telling why he did it. Because apparently Joe Exotic would, like, harm the animals. Like, if he needed to make room for animals. Like, he talks about this time where this person needed to put these animals up in Joe's zoo, and he didn't have room. So he took three tigers and just, like, shot them, and then, like, chopped them up for parts and sold them.
Dang.
And it's like, you know what? I get it. Yeah, and like the guy found out about that, and he was like, "Yeah, no, I don't like it when people harm animals." So that's why he narked to the feds. And I'm like, you know what? I totally get it.
Like, yeah,
I'd have narked to the feds too.
Yeah,
because good Lord. But like, we didn't really know all that was going on, but like, you knew that, you know, there was craziness going on, but not to the extent, because like this guy's telling you about like. Yeah, like, they didn't even touch on, like, the animal abuse and stuff like that that went on. So he's like, there could be a whole nother season of The Tiger King, just way darker.
Just based on that stuff,
just based on that. And it's like, oh, man.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. It was pretty, pretty crazy. And then they've done, like, follow-ups, like TMZ did a thing. But I don't know. I'm like, all right, seen enough.
Yeah.
I get it.
But no, McMillions, like that one, who's your favorite? Like, I have one person that I loved in that, McMillions.
It had to be the guy who was like sitting at the table at the end and they were like, would you do it again? And he was like, oh yeah, in a heartbeat. Like that guy.
He was great. And the FBI agent I loved.
The FBI agent was
funny. The FBI agent, he was so over the top.
Yeah.
Oh man.
He's like what is the guy from the Marvel movies, from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Coulson?
He's very much like Coulson.
Yeah, he's got that vibe. It's pretty funny.
Oh, man. Yeah, dude, I love McMillions. That was my jam. Like,
yeah, it was awesome.
I watched every single episode, and I was trying to get other people to watch it and be like, watch this, please, watch it. I will give you my HBO login so you can watch this.
Have you watched things like The Toys That Made Us or The Movies That Made Us on Netflix?
I watched The Movies That Made Us. I like them. The Toys ones, I was kind of like, I don't really want to too much because it'll make me want to start collecting.
That's awesome.
Where at least with like The Movies That Made Us, it's like, if I don't own this movie, I'll just buy it, you know?
Right.
I don't got to do
right.
too much about it. But yeah, no, the Toys That Made Us and like the Lego Masters, like I don't want to do those just because I'm like, I want to get into it because I have an addictive personality. So, like, if I see a lot of people playing with, like, Legos, be like, I want to get Legos. I'll buy Legos. That was Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Now I'm so far into it. Like, I've got, like, so many renovations on my house. I'm, like, millions of pounds in, or millions of bells in debt. And I'm just like,
That's really funny.
It's fun.
I don't actually know how it works. Is it kind of like Sims? Sim City or something like that?
Yeah. Okay. It's basically Sim City, except instead of being really small and everything, there's animals.
Gotcha.
It's like Minecraft mixed with Sim City.
Okay. I mean, it sounds fun. Oh, man. Yeah, for me, it's like, I don't know. I would rather get obsessed with toys and go buy a bunch of toys than have something like Animal Crossing or like another video game or something that just
sucks all
consumes
your time.
Consumes time. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I use it now more. Like, I'll do the thing where, like, I'll, like, first thing when I wake up, so 8 o'clock rolls around, I'll get out of bed, I'll make my bed, and then I'll go in the living room and I'll turn on Animal Crossing and I'll do my, like, chores in Animal Crossing. And so then by like 8:30, I'm done with my chores, and then I usually play it at night.
That's awesome.
Because it's super easy to unwind. It's like, because you can fish in the game, so I'll just like craft a couple fishing poles, just go out and like fish for like an hour, and just like unwind from the day, and then it'll be like, all right, time to go to bed.
That's so funny. Yeah, see me, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna unwind, and then I go and just like shoot people on Apex Legends.
Hey, we all unwind differently.
We all have our own methods.
Oh, man. Dude, Adam, this was super fun.
Yeah, this was awesome. Thank you. Thanks for having me as always. And always, fun chatting. And yeah, appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. And maybe we'll have Sam next time if she decides to wake up.
Yeah, what the heck? So she said her sleep schedules.
Yeah, she said her sleep schedule's weird. Because I was like, I shot her a thing last night, and I was like, hey, because like we were playing Animal Crossing together, and I was like, hey, do you just want to come over and? I mean, I'm recording with Adam tomorrow. You want in and be like, my sleep schedule's weird. Like, let me see the exact text. I think she said she wakes up at noon. And I'm like, girl. Oh yeah, she used to get up at 7 every day, and now she's lucky if she's up before 12. And wow. I'm like, girl. That's a bit much.
That's a significant difference, Sammy. You got to get on it. Oh, I'll shoot her a text. I'll shoot her a text. I'll tell her she missed out.
She missed out on so much fun. We talked about toys. It was great.
We talked about so many good things.
So, Adam, where can everybody find you social media wise?
I am Ninja Mac on everything, which is amazing. So Instagram, you can find me Ninja Mac. Twitter, and TikTok, which is whatever. But
are you doing the Cameo thing?
I am on Cameo. I think, I don't know. Let me look, actually. I forget what my Cameo thing is. Yeah, I don't.
Oh, sorry. While you were looking up that, I was like, and you can always go watch Star vs. Forces of Evil. Whole series is done now.
Yep, you can watch the whole series on Disney Plus. You can also watch it on Hulu. What else? Salem is coming soon.
You can watch The Protector on Netflix, at least the first two episodes. After that, you can probably turn them off.
Yes, you can do that. Yeah, I'm Ninja Mac on Cameo also, but I have a love-hate with Cameo.
Oh.
Only book me on Cameo if you really need something, like really need something.
Gotcha.
Otherwise, just save your money and send me a DM on Twitter.
There you go. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Josh L. Kane. Oh, I forgot to say, we're going to put all of Adam's links in the show notes, so you'll be able to find everything there. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Josh L. Kane. You can find the podcast on Instagram at Animation Station Podcast, on Twitter at Animate Podcast. All of our episodes, iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Google Play, Spotify, YouTube, our website, animationstationpodcast.com. Be sure and, review us, like us, smash the like button on the YouTube comment. We respond to comments, good or bad, because that's what YouTube is.
Yeah, but only do good.
I mean, only do the good ones. But I mean, like, if we've had some before, like people are like, well, why did this do? Like, why did you record this? Or like, why didn't you? We had one person was like, it was for the movie Storks. We had one person comment, like they shot us a message after we've reviewed the movie. It's like, why didn't you say that there was an LGBT couple in there, like, you're misrepresenting blah blah blah, and it's like, because it's not a big deal.
Yeah, there's always somebody. There's always somebody who can find something to complain about. That's what I've learned.
Yeah, and what are you talking about? Like, it was a happy couple that received a child. Like,
yeah,
that's happiness, man. And then he walked us, and it was like, okay, bye.
Yeah, whatever.
Have fun.
Whatever.
Ah, craziness. But Adam, again, thanks for so much for coming on, man.
Of course, dude. Great chatting with you as always. On the other side of this, hope to see you in person.
Hopefully when we actually get to record the Salem stuff.
Yes.
Whenever the state is open for us to do that.
Yes, we'll make it happen.
Oh, man. All right, so for the Animation Station Podcast, I'm Josh.
And I'm Adam.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.